Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Wickman. I tell you what, we are at Southtown Sporting Goods. We're with Larry. Larry is a wealth of knowledge. I'm learning something every time I visit with him. I've come in this store a lot. Southtown Sporting Goods is located here. This one is located in Fayetteville. But there's another one, right, Larry?
No, the other one closed during the tornado in Joplin. That we had to. So we're the only one left. So
there you go. Right here in Fayetteville.
Well, just north of the Northwest Arkansas Mall.
Yep. So that's an idea if you ever have any questions or anything. But we come to Larry because he has degrees and everything you need to know about fishing and bugs. And so we're going to talk about the thermocline. That's really our interest today, and how the thermocline affects the fish and how it affects the fishermen.
Right.
So tell us a little bit. Well, what is the thermocline?
Well, the thermocline, there's a whole course in this, but right. I'm going to boil it down to just a few words if I can.
Okay.
Water reaches its greatest density at 4 degrees. So it warms below that, or cool, it gets lighter below that and lighter at any temperature above. That's 4 degrees Fahrenheit. So warmer water is lighter than colder water. So in the springtime, when the water warms, the lighter water wants to stay near the top.
Right.
And the thermocline is just a definition of how water layers out or how it stratifies. Any shallow lake would mix completely, but if a lake's deep enough that it doesn't mix, you develop what's called a thermocline. And the top layer, which they call the epilimni, and I'll get rid of this verbiage real quick and then we'll go on, is just a level of pretty constant temperature. And that's where the air can mix, sun and the air and the physical structure of the lake can mix the water, and it stays the same temperature. Below that, because the colder water's denser, it tends to become very stable. And for another distance that varies with each reservoir or each body of water, it cools at a fairly rapid pace. Like, let's say, for example, in July, the surface temperature might be 80 degrees. Uh-huh. And in Beaver Lake, which is deep, on the bottom is still 40 degrees. Well, somewhere in the middle of top to bottom, there's what they call a metalimni, and that's where it changes pretty fast. And for you hit the thermocline, say, at 20 feet, and I'll go through this again in just a minute. Then for the next 20 or 30 feet down, it's cooling pretty rapidly. But it's very stable. It doesn't change. And then below that, it's cold and doesn't vary much. That's called the hypolimnia. That's the deep part. So you got three layers. Upper layer that mixes and it's warm. The layer where the transition is, and that's the interesting part for the fishermen. That's where they fish want to find cool water. They can find that and they live there. Now, if it's a rich lake, that thermocline becomes a real barrier to them because little particles that fall out of the water will tend to concentrate there, and it creates an oxygen deficit. And that makes it where the fish can't live.
Right.
So it becomes a real barrier. Now, in Beaver Lake and most mountain lakes and a lot of lakes in Tennessee, all over the country that have long retention times, in other words, they store a lot of water relative to what comes in, they tend to develop a thermocline that's pretty suitable for fish. Like walleye like a little cooler water. They may settle off in the summertime down to 20, 25 feet. Bass like to find an area that's comfortable. And quite often they'll settle into a little bit cooler water. And so, you know, it's a for the fishermen, it's a pretty important thing.
Right.
And it's something that, It's so variable. What I gave you is just a brief. I mean, there are all kinds of variations in this, and it can vary with the reservoir. I mean, it's I can spend hours on it.
Right.
We're gonna. I hope I gave you enough information. Warm on top, changes quickly. You look for the change.
Right.
For the fish. And then forget the bottom. It's too cold. So anyway, for the fishermen, that's what we're going to concentrate on, I think.
So it's oxygen deprived on the bottom
section of it? It can be. A lake that has a long, what they call theoretical retention time, like Beaver holds.
Right.
Beaver Lake here close. Holds a year and a half's worth of runoff.
Right.
So
wow.
It doesn't, you get a rain and it may come up 3 feet, whereas you take a Grand Lake, you get a rain, it pretty well flushes. So you move a lot more water. If the watershed's big relative to the volume of the lake, then it moves the water faster. And those tend to be more fertile.
Uh-huh.
That's just part of it. And so in those lakes, a thermocline can become a real barrier to life below it. It can become anoxic in the summertime very quickly, and that's not good for the warm water fish. So the thermocline is, depending on the lake, can have a lot of different effects for the fishermen. And generally fishermen look for it and like to know where it is. Just, I mean, there's a lot of information they can glean just from knowing how it stratifies. And but in terms of going through what the thermocline is, you say warm with oxygen on top. When you hit the thermocline or the top of where it starts to change, it can become anoxic and just be a good place for the fish to live. So it depends on your body of water how you approach it. But
let's start with let's do like three different fish. We'll do walleye, bass, and crappie. So if you're walleye fishing, how do you approach fishing if you know there's a thermocline there?
Well, if it's a very fertile lake, that can become a barrier. But they're apt to seek something close just because of temperature, close to that. In the summertime, these waters out here can be 80, 85 degrees.
Yeah, it's 86
right now. They prefer a little cooler
right
water.
Now.
So if I were looking for walleye, I would probably, and I will make this statement, on most of these mountain lakes, the thermocline sets up very consistently on the big lower end of the lake at around 20 feet.
Yep.
So kind of take that as an indicator of where you want to look for them.
Uh-huh.
And you'd look for the walleye somewhere around that depth range. And with all the new electronics, my goodness, you know, we used to have to hunt them, but now these guys get live scopes and spot them with the gadget,
right?
Catch them with the spoon. You know, I mean, it's a new science, new art. But
so, are you looking for points where the 20-foot comes across? Is that it for walleye?
Well,
or the
that
bottom?
that depth range, but it doesn't. It can be a point. A lot of times they'll get out on fairly gentle sloping flats.
Uh-huh.
But you would want to start searching for that depth. And if you were trolling, they may prefer, even if out in the open water, they may prefer to be a little deeper. So in the summertime, of course, they go up the river to spawn in the spring. And, but in the summertime, I would want to think you concentrate around that depth. Now, I will say this, as the summer goes on, and this is a whole subject we're not going to have time, the thermocline will tend to deepen.
Uh-huh.
In other words, in July, it may be at 20 feet, on Beaver Lake as an example. By August, it's 25. By September, it's 35. In other words, when the water mixes in the fall, it cools from the top down. It doesn't just turn over and mix. The top just erodes away as it cools because it's stable on the bottom. It's not going to. So the people think of a lake turning. They always talk about it turning over.
Right.
Well, it doesn't really work that way. Now, in the upper end of the lake, where it's pretty shallow and it can happen real quick, but on a big lake like Bull Shoals or Beaver or Table Rock, this mixing process takes place all fall.
Yeah, it's a long process.
It's a long process, gradually deepening. So the conditions, if you're relating to the thermocline, can tend to get deeper and deeper, but at some point the surface temperature gets cool enough that they're comfortable at shallower levels. And so they may, you know, like in the fall, you just hunt for a comfort level, I think, where they may be. How about
on crappie? Crappie, sometimes you catch them like in 12 foot of water.
They're comfortable in warm water. I mean, crappie are great in the delta down here. They live fine in it. So the big thing with crappie seems to be that you know, their behavior pattern, a lot of times they'll be around brush or structure, but there seems to be a period of time in the summer when they're kind of free roaming, and the guides are all, we've got some examples here. We got some pico baits. You're familiar with those, I'm sure.
yeah.
And they trolling for them, it's a fun thing.
You know, catch a lot of fish.
Catch a lot of fish. You don't know what you're going to catch. You may catch a walleye, but make all kinds of little cute little crappie baits are usually deep diving.
And that's what these are. They
bright
dive
colored.
Down
yeah,
right
they're,
top,
they're,
yeah.
They're, that's pink, and we got a – that's a natural. I think you got the sexy
shad. Yeah, this
shad.
Is
that's
a sexy
a
shad.
And that's
one,
a good color. That's
yeah, this color here is my son-in-law painted this
is
one.
That right?
And this is his design.
It's his
and
design,
and I got him doing this for some on jerk baits. We're taking the paint off. name brand jerk baits. Well, and we were, he was painting this on there because I didn't like edgy bone.
Right.
And I said, take that bone out. Not Boy, sure. He took the bone out. I was like,
yeah,
ooh.
Well, those are good. Yeah. And then, of course, this is
pink.
Yeah. Pink, orange.
Now, does pink turn colors when it gets deeper?
Sure.
It does.
The blue's the color that stays the longest. If the red's the first one to go.
Right.
As water gets deeper. And, if you look at a coral reef and it's 50 feet deep, it looks blue. But if you go down in the water and shine a light on it, these colors just explode. It's the same way in a reservoir. So color doesn't really mean as much as people think, but the fishermen like it. Everything kind of grades to shades of blue as you get deeper.
I think that's the reason why, like here, you just use multiple colors and you just find which one's working.
Which one's working that day.
So crappie are different. They're a different beast. They don't care.
Well,
they're probably influenced more by shad, where the shad are
They're hunting food. They're hunting food.
And how about bass when it comes to like largemouth?
Well, my goodness, this is a...
There's
a whole industry. And in the summer, they do... You know, they may feed on top a while, but it seems like they settle out a lot of times fairly deep around some cover.
Uh-huh.
And they'll school up, and if it's a and this varies a little with strong air classes. When you have good reproduction, you get a little more schooling in the summer. So following a wet year, you may find more schooling bass. But they'll aggregate and chase shad during the daytime. And, it's one way to fish them up shallow, but basically, a lot of time they're going to be settled into a place 20 feet deep down near the top of the thermocline, where it's comfortable, and you got to present a bait to them and see if you can make them bite. So that's 90% of what we've got in the store, finding ways to present a bait for them. So there's not a single pattern. Crappie are probably simpler to.
We could just be grabbing stuff right off the things and showing. But thermocline, long time for it to erode. I know it seems like in years before it seemed like it eroded a lot faster. Well, it seems like nowadays it's taken longer for that period of time.
It's where you are in the lake. Where the water inflows, you get most of your nutrients, so it tends to become the thermocline tends to accumulate more just material, just garbage, and it makes the oxygen deplete. So it when it mixes, you sometimes see it pretty clearly in the fall. See the water color up a little, but it breaks up pretty quick. But as you go down the lake and it gets deeper, it's a slow process. And so where you are in the lake and bass fishermen can spend a lot of time reading, studying this. This is a I've taken whole courses on it, and it's not something that we can sit here in 15 minutes and resolve. I tried to say.
Well, we put it in a nutshell, though, that it gives them some great information on actually where to kind of start and what it is, because I think there's some misconceptions
a lot of misunderstandings. Yes.
What do you think the biggest misnomer about the thermocline is?
Well, I think one of the biggest may be that a lot of people think it just mixes overnight. And in certain conditions, it can. But generally, reservoirs it slowly erodes. You might, as a rule of thumb, say the farther up lake you are on any reservoir, the more you're going to notice a mixing in the fall. And it doesn't happen all over the lake at once. In Beaver Lake is just an example because it's close. The water can be pretty well mixed by early October. In other words, you'll see in September sometime a few days when the fishing slows, classic mixing of the thermocline. But as you go down lake, this process takes till December. So you get down around Prairie Creek, it's a slow. It's not marked. And then down by the dam, you'll never know it.
All right. There you go. There you have it. Everything you wanted to know about a thermocline, we just talked about.
No,
I know. We just
skimmed it.
Tip of the iceberg, I guess we could say.
That's it.
Since the middle section is cold, we'll say tip of the iceberg.
The middle section is where the water changes most rapidly, and then the big volume at the bottom. It's true, we have trout here.
Right.
The cold water mixes one time in the winter. and recharges with oxygen, but in the summer it's there. That's
right.
What it captured in wintertime is what you're living on for the trout. So that's just the way it is.
Well, that takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Of course, we talked about crankbaits and using different crankbaits. There are 40 color patterns. You have all 40? They have 40 color patterns.
I've got quite a lot.
And everyone you need. The Larry's got them here. And then they have 14 of the square bills. And, of course, you can learn more about these crankbaits and how to use them if you go to picolures.com. Larry, if they want to find out more about the store, where are you located again?
Well, we're located at 4602 North College in Fayetteville. That's across the street from the 5200 block in Springdale. We're in what they call Lapland. But we're just next to Locomotion of Theme Park, just down the hill from the Northwest Arkansas Mall, just to the
there
north of it.
Easy
Set right
to
out
spot.
On the highway, easy to find.
There you go.
Business 71.
There you go. And they got all kinds of stuff. Just don't think they have fishing stuff. They got apparel for if you're out fishing. And they got a whole section of hunting things. And he has kayaks and everything. But anyway, we're going to wrap it up. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.